The first question I would ask is, I know your organization is called Emmanuel House, and maybe if you just tell us a little about Emmanuel House.
Certainly, Spar. Well, Emmanuel House, its full title is Emmanuel House Support Centre. And the word support is a key to everything that we do. Emmanuel House is it's on Goose Gate in Nottingham, about a 4 minute walk from the Market Square. And Emmanuel House has been there for about 44, 45 years. So it's been in Nottingham a long time. It was founded by a Catholic priest in 1976. It's an organization that's open to all faiths and none. Anybody from any kind of background can access it. And our purpose is to do two things. First of all, to prevent people from becoming homeless. And the second thing is to help people out of homelessness who might find themselves without anywhere to live. So we have a whole range of services, and whatever we do points in the direction of either prevention of homelessness or helping people to find somewhere to live.
Wow. That's a good thing. Before I ask you who you work with generally, I would ask you, what is the definition of homelessness? Because to some people, homelessness, I think, is just someone who doesn't have a job, someone who lives on the street. And I think it's way beyond that definition. Am I right?
So the definition of homelessness would be something like not having a place of your own that is secure to live in. So as well as the obvious examples of, sleeping on the street, a person might sofa surf, for example. So they might go from one friend to the other, and they would spend a different night on their sofa. That would be homelessness. So it's really having access to your own door, really, and it's yours, and you're there permanently and it's secure. So without that permanence and security, then you would be homeless.
So is it right to say that you could even be having a job and then become homeless?
Yes, and we support people who are in work and who are homeless. So before the pandemic, we ran something called the Night Shelter, which was an emergency accommodation for people who were homeless, single people who were homeless. And it was not infrequent that there were people there who were working and who were homeless. And they would leave the shelter at maybe 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, and they'd walk quite a long way to work. They'd do their work, and then they would come back to the shelter in the evening. And for people in that situation, we would work with them to help them find accommodation that was affordable. And we would also provide the ongoing support they needed to access that accommodation. So it is possible to be homeless and in work. And sometimes people who are homeless have been known to sleep in their cars. Mm-hmm. And there's been stories in the press about people sleeping in their cars when they found themselves homeless. So having a job doesn't necessarily mean you are or you're not homeless.
Just before I come to the people you work with, what do you think sometimes lead to these situations of homelessness? Sometimes it's beyond what we think. Sometimes I think it could, in my view, I may be wrong, but sometimes I think it could lead to some sort of violence in the house, some sort of insecurity in the house, some sort of not having a peace of mind in the house. Even whereas maybe you may live with your family, you may become homeless eventually.
Yes, there are a number of factors which can contribute to somebody becoming homeless. Now, the biggest factor is relationship breakdown. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, we know that there has been more stress on households, and that has led to people becoming homeless, some of them homeless for the very first time. And yes, obviously, if you lose your income, if you lose a job, or your benefits are cut or suspended in some kind of way, obviously you can't pay your rent or your mortgage, so you are destined to be homeless unless there is support of friends or other families. So there are a range of factors that can contribute to somebody becoming homeless, but essentially it's not having the resources to the provision for, you know, to live somewhere and to pay for it yourself. And that really is what homelessness is about. All the other issues, things like alcohol and drugs, their issues come later.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes addictions can contribute to homelessness, but in the main, the drugs and the alcohol tend to come later.
Yes. Yes. It would mean that you work with a lot of organizations then, if you within the city, and that you have been here for a long time, for over four decades. It means you know a lot about how things go within the city of Nottingham, and who are the people, the organizations you work with.
Yeah, so we did a count a while back, and we are connected in with over 130 organizations in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst we provide a lot of support on different areas of homelessness, there are other specialist organisations and services that specialise in a particular area. So, you know, one of them, for example, that immediately comes to mind is the Law Centre in Hyson Green. We're connected in with drug and alcohol services. We're connected in with people who provide accommodation. Some of those will be council services, some of them will be charities, and some of them will be in the private sector. So there would probably be very unlikely that someone would come to Emmanuel House and we wouldn't know where they could get additional support.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. How would you assess the city of Nottingham regarding homelessness? Is it on the high or it's in an average term?
I think proportionally it's quite high. I think there's two sides to this. I think first of all, in terms of the infrastructure and the services that are provided, there is an awful lot of work going on right across all the different sectors to work together to overcome the scourge of homelessness. So as well as Emmanuel House, obviously there's this framework, a very big organization, there's the city council, and then there's, you know, health services as well. So everybody's working very, very hard together, and no one organization has the total answer. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the organizations don't have the total answer, because homelessness in many ways is impacted by government policy. In terms of numbers, the numbers of single homeless people has gone up during the past 11 months during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that behind the scenes, there's a lot of money has gone into providing accommodation support, but behind the scenes, if that accommodation support wasn't there, there would probably be around about 100 people who would be rough sleeping in Nottingham. As well as that, then the city council received between, you know, 80 and 115 households who present as homeless each week. So it is a very serious problem. And what we need to understand is that homelessness, it operates like a system. And yes, we can move people into accommodation, but actually, as soon as we move some people into accommodation, there's more people who present as homeless. And what we really need to do is to focus on the prevention side so that people don't become homeless in the first place.
Yes, I will come to the COVID issue a bit later. I think if we have to talk about COVID and homelessness, then we will be spending the whole day here.
Yes.
So, but before coming to the COVID points, basically, I wanted to know when a homeless person comes to Emmanuel House, what kind of assistance would he or she get from Emmanuel House?
Okay, so people will access our services in different kinds of ways. So there are three very broad categories of service that we provide. One is the drop-in provision at Emmanuel House in Goose Gate. Then we have outreach services that provide specialist support and mental health support. And then we're supporting 50 people in a hotel and accommodation in Nottingham. So people will access those services in different ways. But if they come to Emmanuel House, they will meet with a support worker, and that support worker will have a conversation with them. The first thing we will do, if we've never met them before, is we will establish their identity and we listen to their story about how they become homeless. And then we will work out a pathway of support. Now, that pathway of support will be in agreement with the person who's asking for the services. So, for example, if they don't have any access for benefits, then we will help them sort out their benefits. If they're involved, if there's some legal circumstances around their case, then we will find out the legalities of their position. If they need accommodation, we will advise them to present themselves to the City Council. Sometimes, if people come from outside of the area of Nottingham, they will have what's called no local connection, which means that there's no real statutory service for them. So we will explain all that, and they may have to make some decisions for themselves about what they want to do in the future. Similarly, if they've got a drink problem, then we will help get sort of drink support. And then what we will do is we will provide support as they go through the system. It's about, if they navigate that system and negotiate everything they need to do, they might need to register with a GP. We will let them know how to do that. So it's a step-by-step support that is specific to every individual person. And whether they're looking for mental health support or whether they're in the hotel, that it's the same principle that applies in every case. It's just that there's a different emphasis depending on which service they use.
In fact, you just your last sentence preempted my question, and that is mental health support.
Yes.
Because I know for sure that homelessness is a big issue, and the issue of mental health in homelessness cannot be just overemphasized. It's something that affects anybody who is going through homelessness.
Yes. So one of the things to understand about homelessness is that it's a trauma. And the vast majority of people who find themselves homeless will have suffered some degree of trauma. So they will have some sort of mental health issue. So that is always somewhere along the line in terms of supporting people, a matter to be considered. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Mental health is a very, very significant factor. Mental health on its own doesn't necessarily cause homelessness, but it can be a contributory factor to somebody becoming homeless. And someone who suffers from mental health problems can have a greater propensity to becoming homeless than people who don't. Similarly, if you are homeless and you have a mental health illness, then obviously it's a greater challenge to get out of the homelessness because your motivation is depleted, you lose a lack of confidence, and so it is that extra barrier that is in your way. And part of what we do at Emmanuel House is to support people so they get through that barrier they get the help they need, and then they reach a point where they can make healthier decisions for themselves.
Okay, now, Dennis, let's get to the issue of COVID-19. I think I would be right to say that the amount of or the level of demand that you have now regarding homelessness issues is higher during the COVID-19 period than before.
Well, what has happened? It's a bit of a two-edged sword. So back in March last year, the government told every local authority that they had to get every person who was on the street into single unit accommodation. Now, that was an initiative called Everybody In. And what happened was that everybody who was in our shelter, plus some other people as well, were then accommodated in a hotel. And this was something that happened throughout the country. Now, initiative in Nottingham and nationally overall has been remarkably successful. Mm-hmm. So people were given a room which had their own ensuite toilet and wash facilities, and they had three meals a day, and they were supported by the staff. Mm-hmm. Now, the result of that in many, many cases is that people have reduced their drinking, people's mental health have improved, mm-hmm. and they reached a point where they were really quite well, the whole well-being had improved. And so they were in that position where they were able to make better, more informed decisions for themselves. And through the hotel project, we have resettled over 121 people from homelessness into accommodation since last March. Now, the important thing that we learn about that is that if you provide good accommodation, three meals a day and a bit of support, that is 90% of the work done. The rest is sort of the specialist support. So it's been very, very successful from that point of view. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's happened is because so many people have gone into accommodation, not just the hotel, but other accommodation, because extra funding has come along, then the drop-in provision has been needed less because everybody's getting 24-hour wraparound care of all sorts. So we have learned a lot through COVID, and you know, we would want to see what we've learned built on. But that comes down then to government policy and what they're prepared to fund in terms of our future services. Obviously, the other issue to do with COVID is, as I mentioned, is that more people have become homeless through COVID. You know, people have lost their jobs, more stress on families, and so the numbers have gone up. So we need to work hard, and we need to have a strategic plan in place to address the numbers, so we can get the numbers down again. That's very important.
You mentioned quite a lot of positive things, but notwithstanding, you have a lot of some issues that are a bit of challenges towards that area of keeping people under one roof, following all these guidelines and the restrictions, not getting them, letting them go out, or even if they go out, when they have to come back, they have to follow certain rules. There is some sort of regulation there, if I understand.
Yeah. So, sorry, can you just ask, what's the question?
No, the question now is the challenges in keeping those people there with all these regulations and government guidelines.
Yes, so one of the things that we need from the government is a clear plan about the future. Now, there are initiatives which are happening. The City Council have got to apply for funding, and some of that happens on a yearly basis. Some of it's new, and as I mentioned before, everybody's working together across the city to pitch in for that funding and that resources. Emmanuel House is part of that, and we need to wait and see then what the what the government actually says and whether our funding bids are successful. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they will be.
All right, that's a good one. Let's just look at what are the key challenges that that you face as an organization that helps people. I'm sure you have a lot, but then I'm just trying to focus on the key ones, maybe.
Okay. Well, I think the first challenge is about the number of people who are becoming homeless and who are entering into the system. Mm-hmm. Obviously there are a finite resources, and the more demand there are in the resources, then the greater the challenge. I think the second thing is around the people's level of need. So not only are the numbers of people increasing, but the level of need that they have are also increasing. So you mentioned earlier on about mental health. Well, we know from the work we're doing that at the beginning of the pandemic, people's needs that we look after and that we support were quite low to medium. But now we can see those needs are going from medium to high. So that obviously means that extra demand in terms of support, people are in the system longer, they need more specialist services. So that is a particular challenge. I think after that, for us as an organization, it's having the resources to sustain the services. We are a charity. We do depend on donations, and as well, we have contracts with the City Council and also with Health. So we obviously have to manage our budgets carefully. As a charity, we quite often provide services that other charities, that other services don't, particularly for people who don't meet the criteria somewhere along the line. But one of the things that I am personally very grateful for is that we do have the support from very, very many people. And I think there are over 1,000 people who support Emmanuel House. And we had our funding campaign this Christmas, and I'm very pleased to say that people were extremely generous, and we've raised well over £100,000. Which will contribute to guaranteeing our mental health service, which is just fantastic. I think that the big challenge for the year ahead is the uncertainty. It's very, very difficult to make a plan because nobody knows how things are going to work out or how fast they're going to work out. We don't know when we'll be able to associate freely again. So there's all those kind of challenges ahead. I mean, I think this year ahead is going to be unique. The year past has been unique, but I think the year ahead is going to be different because everybody's going to be looking to get out of this dreadful situation that we're in, and get back into some kind of routine and consistency. And that impacts on our services and the people who need our services, and that's going to be a big challenge.
It would sound to me that the community is well engaged in what you're doing for their generous contributions as well. Do you have some new projects that you are embarking on, or you intend to embark on during this period or during this year?
Well, yes, Bar. You're absolutely right. People are very generous towards Emmanuel House. People donate money, but they also donate food and clothing, and also people volunteer. And before the lockdown, before the first COVID lockdown way back in March, there were over 300 people who volunteered in and around Emmanuel House. It was just fantastic. And yes, it is. And So, you know, the support that we get, through the year, it's just incredible. You know, people from all sorts of backgrounds, traditions, cultures, faith communities, all contributing to Emmanuel House. And volunteers are very important to us because one of the features of being homeless is that you become invisible. You know, people, you know, you could go through the whole day without somebody calling you by your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people walk by you on the street. But coming into Emmanuel House and meeting the volunteers, you know, you have a great diversity of conversation, people with background stories, you know, and people who become homeless have backgrounds in working in education, and social services, running their own businesses, coming from other countries. So, you know, there's a vast array of you know, conversations to be had. And all those are very important in terms of helping people to recover from the predicament that, that they're in. So I've actually forgotten the question you asked me there.
No, I know, because I know you're speaking from the heart in this regard because of the amount of support you're receiving from the community. It's okay. I was just trying to see if you are embarking on any new projects for this year.
Well, I wish we were. Our main task this year is going to really focus on the basics. I mean, those who know about Emmanuel House know that we are a very community orientated charity. So you know, we had guitar lessons, we had English classes, we had an allotment group, we had people doing streetwise opera, we had evening sessions, but I think we recognize that we've got to really focus on the basics this year, because the challenges around helping people back into accommodation, back out of homelessness, are going to be really considerable. So that's where we're going to focus on. And then our plan is that in the year 2022-23, that will be the year then hopefully we can begin to open up again and flourish and to provide the new projects.
Yeah, looks like then during this period, you're just trying to contain the situation.
Yes, so it really, really the fundamentals. So what are the fundamentals? What is the biggest need? And the biggest need is to do everything possible to prevent people becoming homeless and to get people out of homelessness into accommodation. That has got to be our primary mission.
So on a final note, if you have something else to add to what we have been saying.
In terms of, well, if people want to find out more information about Emmanuel House, and actually if you want to get a little bit of insight into how homelessness can happen, if you just Google Emmanuel House Nottingham, you'll get our website. Mm-hmm. And on the front page of our website, we've got a film called Lone. And Lone is a film about a young girl called Gemma, and she simply becomes homeless. It's actually based on the stories of a lot of women. One of our workers is a specialist in working with women. And the film is based on the work that she has done. And it's a very, very powerful film. It's about 10 minutes long, very, very powerful. We've had terrific feedback from the community about it. It's given new insight to people about how homelessness happens. And of course, homelessness and women is not very often talked about. And I know our worker who actually features in the film will say that, you know, homelessness and women is hidden homelessness. It's an issue within itself. It's a specialist service in itself. And I know that the services across Nottingham are very keen that we provide better services for women around homelessness. So that will be certainly one of the things for the next year, 18 months. But you'll find all sorts of information if you want to donate, if you want to get involved with Emmanuel House, and more in-depth information about the services that we provide. So that's one of the things that folks can do. You can also friend us on Facebook. We have lots of different postings, and we put out little stories about how people have appreciated our service and how they've got out of homelessness. You can follow us on Twitter as well. And just share it on. That'd be great. And that would be a real help to us.
That's fine. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Dennis. And in fact, you have taught me a lot about homelessness. I think these are things that we do not value that much, most of us within the communities that have maybe shelter for ourselves, a roof above our heads. And having this kind of conversation will sometimes change the narrative in different ways. I would love to share that little movie you are talking about. Maybe after this, you can send it to Anna, and then Anna is going. I will pick it up from Anna, and then we see how we can improve on it.
Yeah, I think that we may have already sent it, but I will make sure that it has been sent.
Yes.
And you know, if people want to feedback on it or have conversations about it, then we can arrange that for another time. It'd be fantastic. Yes,
we will put it in our different platforms, and then maybe then it's going to increase the audience, and then maybe you'll get some more help from that. You never know. Yes, and then please email Anna everything about your social media handles.
Yep.
So when we make this, we try to put everything included in there in terms of contact. If anybody wants to contact Emmanuel House and everything, addresses and all sorts of contacts anyway.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, Spar, and I hope that we do it again sometime soon.
Indeed. We will. This is just the start, because once we find good people and good organizations within the community doing good things for the community, we want to associate ourselves with them and then try to complement each other in the good things that we do.
That's great. And when everything opens up again, you'll have to come and visit.
No worries. Thank you so much, and I love it. I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're such a good speaker, and honestly, I have learned a lot. Honestly.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Mark. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.